Hallelujah. Well, here we are. Again. Amen. And we're studying the gifts of the Spirit. Tonight we're beginning our study on the revelation gifts. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit found right here in the Bible. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Hang on right there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to read a couple here tonight. The devil's cruising for a bruising tonight. Amen. We're going to move quickly through this, but we're going to just beat up on him tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. He's lost his anointing, you know. And as much as he knows about the Bible, he has no anointing. He has no supernatural ability to understand the Scriptures like we do. It takes the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the Scripture. And he's lost the Holy Spirit's anointing eternally. There's no hope for him. As much as he tells you there's no hope for you, that's a lie. There's no hope for him. Amen? I said earlier in the service, before some of you were here, I said he's so dull, he thinks espresso means 10 items or less. Amen? He just doesn't get it, is my point. Amen? Look right here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul said right here in verse 12, he said, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, which we are, we earnestly desire to see the gifts in operation in our midst, don't we?" Paul said, "For as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." Some people seek to excel in manifestations or operations of the gifts of the Spirit for their own personal benefit. They want to be seen as spiritual. They want to step out in the things of God, operate in the power and the revelation of God, but to their own benefit, not to the benefit of the body. Paul said we should seek that the gifts would manifest in our midst to the benefit of the entire body. So we want to be careful as we're praying. Watchful, I should say. As we're praying for the gifts to be in manifestation, that we would pray that the gifts would be in manifestation in our midst in a way that would profit the whole body. And not just me. Not just us four and no more. Amen? We want to see God's gifts operate in the earth. When the gifts are in operation in the earth, people flock to the kingdom. They come to see what it's all about. Amen? And then you get somebody like Peter or somebody like me just stand up, just all of a sudden out of nowhere, I'm preaching Jesus. Because God's sending people to hear about Jesus. Amen? Because Jesus is the only Savior of mankind. He's all, he's nothing. Amen? He is what he said he is. He is who he said he is. Or he's not. He's either Lord, liar, a lunatic. He's Lord. Amen? And he proves himself through his gifts and operation in the body today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The power gifts still operate in the earth. I've experienced all of them. The revelation gifts still operate in the earth. Amen? And those who understand the gifts the most are the ones who operate in them the best. Those who understand the gifts most operate in them the bestest. Amen? If we remain ignorant of the gifts, well, look at what Paul said right here. Let me just show you this. Right here in chapter 12, verse 1, he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." He said it's not good to be ignorant of the gifts. When we're ignorant of the gifts, we don't operate in the gifts. Amen? He's saying ignorant. He's not meaning stupid. He's meaning lack of knowledge. He doesn't want us to lack knowledge or understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. So that's what we're endeavoring to do in this series as we cover the gifts of the Spirit, is to understand the gifts because they operate best through those who understand the most. Did you get that? Did you get it, Barbara? You've been hearing it for 20 years. You got it. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The gifts operate the best through those who understand them most. That's why we're studying them. Let's just read this as our opening text. I try to read this at the beginning of each one of these services. We begin in verse 7, the manifestation, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The manifestation, or that actually means the visual operation of the Spirit, is given to every man to profit withal. He wants you to see these gifts in operation. Not because it's a circus or a show, but because it glorifies God when His power is in demonstration, when His Spirit is in demonstration, and people flock to Him. God's building a family of moral free agents who come to Him as a conscious act of their own free will to worship Him throughout all of eternity. That's what this is all about. That's what creation is all about. That's what humanity is all about. God's building a family from amongst all the nations of the world. Individuals who hear of Jesus and come to Him through Jesus as a conscious act of their own free will. See, you have a free will. God won't make you come to Him. He'll put you in position to hear about Him, hear about His Son, hear about His goodness, hear about His love, hear about His mercy, hear about His salvation, but then you have to make a decision as a conscious act of your own free will. It's up to you. You're created in God's image and in God's likeness. God has free will. That's why you have free will. He's building a family of moral free agents who come to Him as a conscious act of their own free will out of a desire to be part of His family and love Him and worship Him forever. Did you get anything out of that?
Amen.
That's good preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not because I'm doing the preaching, but because it's His Word. Amen? So we're studying the gifts of the Spirit. He wants the gifts to be manifestation in our midst and in the earth. Amen? He wants us to be helped. We deserve to be helped by the manifestation of these glorious gifts. And God deserves to be glorified by helping us. Why do we deserve to be helped? Because we had enough sense to accept Christ and not reject Him when He was presented to us by the preaching of the gospel. Amen? I said you deserve to be helped, and God deserves to be glorified by helping you. So let's talk about the word of wisdom with what little time we have left in this service tonight. Amen? Plenty of time to get the job done. We'll wet your whistle. Amen. We'll look at some examples of the... Did I say the word of knowledge? We're doing the word of wisdom. I normally do the word of knowledge first when I go through the series that I teach on the gifts of the Spirit. But in this case, the Holy Spirit has put it on my heart to look at the word of wisdom first. Amen. Now, the word of wisdom is a revelation gift. There's three revelation gifts. There's the word of wisdom. There's the word of knowledge. And there's discerning of spirits. Did we read them over here in 1 Corinthians 12? See, if you'd stop interrupting me, we can read through the text here. Amen? Look at right here. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Holy Spirit the word of wisdom. That's what we'll talk about tonight. To another, the word of knowledge. Next Wednesday night, by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. We saw that last week. To another, the gifts of healings. By the same Spirit, we saw that the week before last week. To another, the working of miracles. We saw that 3 weeks ago. To another, prophecy. We'll see that in 2 weeks. To another, discerning of spirits. We'll see that next week because that's a revelation gift. Amen. To another, divers kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Those are the utterance gifts. We'll be covering those next. But first, we'll look at the word of wisdom, followed by the word of knowledge, followed by discerning of spirits. Amen. Verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. It's up to the Holy Spirit who operates in what gift. Amen. You can't just claim a gift. Oh, I'll take the gifts of healings. That make me look real good. It's up to the Holy Spirit. Amen? But it does say that He distributes severally to each according to His will. Two or more. It's possible to operate in two or more. Every believer can have, over the course of their lives, pretty consistent manifestations of two or more of these gifts in their life. So as we go through these this teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, if something's quickened to you, if the word of wisdom's quickened to you, you ought to pray about it. because it's probably an area God wants to use you in. Tongues and interpretations quicken to you when we teach on it. Something on the inside of you connects. Start praying. That's probably what God's gifted you. It's an area God's gifted you in. Amen. Amen. He distributes them severally according to His will. But just as you're sitting under the proper preaching and teaching of God's Word concerning the gifts of the Spirit, things will quicken to you. Something quickens to you. It's the Holy Spirit saying, that's you. He might not always have me or a ministry leader tell you what your gifts are. He might not always have me tell you what he had me tell Helen last week to expect the manifestation of the gift of faith to go in and out of operation over the course of the rest of your life. But he can tell you directly. 1 John chapter 2, 20 and 27 says, you have an anointing of the Holy Spirit that abides within, and you don't need anybody to tell you anything. The Holy Ghost can tell you directly. If something's quickened to you, grab it. It's a gift he's called you to operate. If the word of wisdom quickens to you tonight, you just know and you know her. That's me. Grab onto it. Study the gift. Because the gifts operate best through those who understand them most. If this gift is quickened to you tonight, there's plenty of studying you can do. You can get a book by Howard Carter. He's passed away now. He's in heaven. He wrote a book called Questions and Answers on Spiritual Gifts. You ought to get that book. Howard Carter got revelation of all nine gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit showed him during the First World War when he was in a prison cell in London, a conscientious objector to the First World War. While he was in there during the First World War, Howard Carter, God gave him revelation that there are nine gifts broken into three categories. The Holy Spirit defined each one for him and showed him where they were in the Word. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. Get that book, Howard Carter, Questions and Answers on Spiritual Gifts. Amen. Now I'm going to define for you the word of wisdom. Amen. You want to write this in your notes. I know you have a notebook with you. Amen. Amen. All good Bible students carry notebooks. Amen. All good Bible students who don't have notebooks, ask for them for Christmas. This is a good time to get a notebook. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you can't get a notebook, you don't have to ask Sandy, you can ask the pastor. We'll get you a notebook if you need a notebook. Amen? Hallelujah. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God. It's not natural wisdom. It has nothing to do with natural wisdom. This is not natural. We're talking about supernatural insight. Amen? It's a revelation gift. The revelation gifts are called revelation gifts. Why? Because they reveal something. And the word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God. And it has to do with, keep writing, people, places, events or things. People, places, events or things. It's a supernatural revelation from the mind of God that has to do with people, places, events, or things, and it always and only deals with the future. Future! If you hear anything tonight, hear this. The word of wisdom always and only deals with future events. Whether it's 1 minute out ahead of you, 1 day, 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade, 2 decades. Future, future, future. The word of wisdom is not super wisdom of the Bible. Someone said to me one time, oh, Pastor John, you have such knowledge of the Bible, you have the word of wisdom. And I thought, Paul said we're not supposed to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. I didn't say it. I would never say that. The person was trying to compliment me. Little did they know how severely I'm lacking in knowledge of the Bible. Amen. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm able to do what I do by the grace of God. I'm an old hippie drug dealer from Boston. Truly. I'm foolish. I'm weak. I'm base. I'm despised. Amen. I don't have great wisdom of the Bible. And great wisdom of the Bible is not the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a supernatural revelation from the mind of God concerning people, places, things, or events, concerning something that's going to happen in the future. It's when God basically shows you something that's going to happen in the future. Some people say this is the greatest of all spiritual gifts. Because what a tremendous asset to be able to know the future. If only we could know everything about the future. Which we can't. But we can know some things as the Holy Spirit shows us. John 16:13. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll lead you and guide you into all truth. He'll even show you things to come. Didn't He? But notice it's called the Word of Wisdom. Paul called... You get anything out of this? You're not getting anything out of this? Barbara says no. Hallelujah. You need to come sit up here, Barbara. Pay attention. Stop talking, Maurice. She's really not. I'm just teasing her. She's just glued to me. Hallelujah. Notice it's called a word of wisdom. It's not all of God's wisdom. A word is a fragmentary part of a sentence, isn't it? It's not a complete sentence. And a word of wisdom is not complete knowledge of everything God knows. Amen? Hallelujah. God might teach us everything we know, but He doesn't teach us everything He knows. Amen? It's a word of wisdom. It's a fragmentary part of something God knows concerning the future. Want to look at an example of one from the Bible? Go to Matthew chapter 17, if you would. Hallelujah. Here Jesus is instructing Peter how they're going to pay their taxes. Tax time rolled around. And Peter's wondering, how are we going to, future, pay our taxes? Amen? How are we going to pay our taxes, Jesus? How are we going to do it? The word of wisdom never has to do with the present or the past. That's the word of knowledge. We'll cover that next week. The word of wisdom always and only has to do with the what? The what? The what? Now say it like you mean it. The future! Amen? Now look at Peter's a little concerned about his taxes here. He just got nailed. Concerned in paying his taxes. And look what Jesus said to Peter in Matthew chapter 17. We'll just pick it up for time's sake in verse 27. Notwithstanding, are you there? Who's talking here? Who? Who? Jesus, Joshua, amen. It's all the same, amen. There's seven Joshuas in the Bible, by the way. Jesus is one of them. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, the tax collectors, look what Jesus said. Go to the sea, cast and hook. Take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened the fish's mouth, thou shalt. See that future? Shalt. Not hast. Shalt. You shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give it to them for me and thee. Now isn't that something? He said, go down to the ocean, cast in a hook. The very first, he could have told them what kind of fish it was going to be, and I don't doubt he did. Amen? And he said, the first fish you catch will have a coin in its mouth. Take that and pay our taxes. That word coin is stater, S-T-A-T-E-R, and it's the equivalent of $4 today, approximately. And it's exactly what it took to pay the taxes for two people in that day. That's a word of wisdom. It's a supernatural revelation from the mind of God concerning people, places, things, or events, always having to do with the future, whether it's 1 second ahead of you, 1 minute ahead of you, an hour, a day, or a year, or 10 years. Amen? He knew not only that it was going to be a coin in the fish's mouth, but what size coin, what the value of the coin was. When you look that word coin up, it says stater, stater. It was the equivalent of what it took to pay taxes for two people in that day. Woo! That's supernatural. That has nothing to do with natural wisdom. Amen? That's supernatural. Isn't that tremendous? You think things like that can't happen today? They do, and they will happen again. Amen? You'll see them happen in your life. To me, that's a tremendous word of wisdom. That he, listen, that's a word of wisdom working in conjunction with the working of miracles, which is, you know, remember the working of miracles? When God suspends the law of nature and allows somebody to step out and do something supernatural contrary to the laws of nature, like when Ronald Coyne had his eye opened by Daisy Gillick and he began to see through an empty eye socket.
This is a combination of the working of miracles with the word of wisdom. Because it took a miracle for Jesus to override the laws of nature and cause that fish to go pick that coin up. Or cause that coin to go pick that fish up. Whichever it was. It's supernatural. The fish didn't coincidentally have a coin in his mouth and Jesus happened to know it. Jesus caused the whole thing to happen. And here we see indication of the gifts working together. And sometimes, like the colors of the rainbow, it's hard to separate them, but we do our best for teaching purposes. We're pulling them apart here, separating them so we can come to understand them. Amen? Want to see another one? Luke chapter 22, real quick in your Bible, if you would. Hallelujah. And that was exactly enough money to pay the taxes for the both of them. Amen? Jesus knew what was going to happen just ahead of Peter. Amen? He predicted it, and that's why it's classified as a word of wisdom. It always has to do with the immediate or distant future. Amen? So don't get it mixed up. Amen? Great wisdom of the Bible is not the word of wisdom. Where are you going? Thank you very much, Helen. Keep track of me. Amen? Luke chapter 22. Look right here, real quick, verse 8. We could read these all night. Amen? We just might. Amen? Luke chapter 22, let's just pick it up real quick in verse 8. Jesus said, Luke, pick it up in 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, and the Passover must be killed. And he said, sent Peter and John, are you there? Saying, go and prepare us the Passover that ye may eat. And they said unto him, where are we going to go and do that? And look at what Jesus said. He predicted here. He said unto them, behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And he shall, you see this shall in the future? Ye shall say unto the good man of the house, the master saith unto thee, where's the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall, future tense, show you a large upper room furnished there, make ready. They went and they found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. Is that supernatural revelation? You know what else is supernatural about that? In Jesus' day, men never carried pitchers of water. Women did. They did all the pitcher carrying. Men carried wineskins. You're a sissy if you carry a pitcher. You carry a wineskin if you're a man. That's women's work, carrying a pitcher. That's how they saw it. And here Jesus, there'll be a guy, you'll see, go on downtown, Main Street, take a right at the first light, there'll be a guy carrying a pitcher of water. He's not a sissy, he's one of us. Follow him, he'll give you a place where we can celebrate and partake of the Passover. They went, there he was. Future, word of wisdom. A supernatural revelation from the mind of God concerning people, places, things, or events always having to do with the immediate or the distant future. Do you see that? You can operate in these gifts. Amen? Now, the revelation and the power gifts, prophets operate in revelation and power gifts more consistently than the general believer. More consistently. But general believers operate in these as well, according to the will of God. And they operate best through those who understand them the most. So as we study the gifts, we find them operating in our lives. You know, when you preach on salvation, what happens? When you preach on healing, what happens? When you preach on the gifts of the Spirit, what happens? And oh, do the Purcells have stories to tell us in the not too distant future? How about Barbara's word of wisdom? How about it? Listen, any of the revelation gifts can be carried in one of multiple vehicles. They can happen through a dream, through a vision, through a prophecy, through an inner witness of the Holy Spirit, through the audible voice of God, the still small voice of God, through an angel coming and appearing to you and giving you a word of wisdom having to do with the future. Barbara had a dream. A word of wisdom in a dream, a week ago Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, approximately. And the Lord showed her this room, packed full of people, this little room, packed full of people, and the offering basket being packed, overflowing with envelopes and checks and money in that basket. You know what the Lord was saying? He's saying he's a God of faith, and without faith it's impossible to please him. Hang on to that word of wisdom. That's my will. That's my intent and my purpose for the future. Grab hold of it. Well, why did God show that to Barbara and not to the pastor? I don't know, neither do you, so there. It doesn't matter, as long as He shows us His plans, His purpose, and His intents for the future, and we grab onto them. These gifts are for everybody in the body, not just leadership. Although leadership will operate in them more consistently. Getting anything out of it? This is good. This is good teaching. Amen. It's encouraging. It's considered to be, by many, as I said, the greatest of all of the nine gifts, because it reveals what God would have someone to do and oftentimes how it will turn out. God showed that to Barbara because He's saying, hang on to the vision. It will pan out. But you're going to have to keep on believing. You're going to have to keep on thanking God for it. Amen? Well, glory be to God. We don't have time to read this, but I'm going to give you a homework assignment. I'm going to ask you, go home, and before you come back here next Wednesday, go into Acts chapter 27, where you will find the narrative. It's not a parable, it's not a story, it's an account of Paul being transported to Rome, Italy, to stand on trial before Caesar. Go into Acts 27, if you would, please. Now, when a police officer tells you to pull over, what do you do? When a doctor gives you medication and tells you to take it, what do you do? When the pastor gives you a homework assignment, what do? You do it. If you would go and read Acts chapter 27 and see how many words of wisdom you can see in that chapter. Whether it's through a man, through God directly, through an angel, whoever, whatever. Read Acts chapter 27 as a homework assignment. See what you can find in there for the word of knowledge. Amen? Hallelujah. To see the future is astounding. Amen? Hallelujah. Imagine what could possibly be greater than Almighty God actually giving somebody direction right from His throne in heaven. That's what the word of knowledge is. That's GPS. And I don't mean global positioning satellite. I mean God positioning faith. Amen? God wants you to know the future. There are components of the future you need to know. It is His will for you to know. He will reveal it to you as individuals and to us corporately, because He wants to give us focus and direction. He wants us to know what to believe, what He wants from us. Amen? John 16:13 says that the Holy Spirit will show all believers things to come. And when He shows you things to come concerning your life, what gift is that? The word of wisdom. Why is it the word of wisdom? Because it has to do with the future. It's so simple, even I can understand it. It's so simple, even I can teach it. Amen? Well, glory be to God. I was once making plans to move to Oklahoma to go to Bible school. And I was good to go. I figured 4-6 weeks, I'm out of here. I was living in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's when I had been delivered, the Albuquerque fire pit, when the Spirit of God came into me in my room in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and He showed me to get out of the entertainment business, driving tractor trailers for Hollywood-based rock and roll stars, worldly entertainers. Well, I got out of that, and I was in Las Vegas, and I determined I'm going to get myself out to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and go to Bible school. I think I had projected to go within the next 4 or 6 weeks. I was just going to go. I was just going to take what money I had, and I was just going to go to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and get myself in that Bible school as quickly as I could. Well, I was on my knees in my room, on the carpet, praying about it, telling God what I was going to do. Amen? And I got caught up in a trance. A trance. Now, there's three types of spiritual visions in the Bible. There's an open vision when the door just opens and Jesus walks in and everybody can see Him. That's an open vision. You don't have to go out into the spirit realm for that to happen. That's happened many times. An angel just appears. Everybody can see Him. It's an open vision. Then there's a spiritual vision. You see something on the inside through the eyes of your spirit. It's not outwardly. You're aware of your surroundings, your circumstances. You know who you are. And you see it on the inside. You can have that driving in your car on the way to work, Helen. The Holy Spirit just show you laying your hands on somebody at lunchtime. because they're sick and you go do it and he heals them. But you don't get caught up in a trance. Amen? But this is the third kind of vision. There's open vision, spiritual vision, then there's a trance. Well, your mind is completely displaced. You don't know where you are. You're unaware of your natural surroundings and you go somewhere else. Like Peter in Acts chapter 10, when the heavens opened and God let down a net with all kinds of clean and unclean animals in it. And he said, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "No way, Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean in my life." He was caught up in a trance, the Bible says. His mind was displaced. He didn't know where he was at the time. He was totally caught up in that vision. And what God was doing was telling him, through a vision, a trance, and a word of wisdom, that he was about to accept the Gentiles, not just the Jews, into the kingdom. A Gentile is somebody who's not a Jew. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Amen? Well, I had a trance like Peter. I was caught up in a trance. I had no idea in the world where I was. I was taken to some tropical zone somewhere, and I was standing in this tropical environment, looking at a ship that was pulled into a pier just right in front of me. It was a huge white vessel covered with rust. And there were men hanging in captain's chairs all over it, scraping the paint, scraping the rust, scraping the barnacles. And I'm standing there looking at that, and all of a sudden I realized Jesus was standing right beside me. Standing right beside me. I looked at his hands, and he was holding something in this hand, and at the time I thought it could have been a pad and a pen. And I couldn't tell the way he was holding it. I couldn't see the holes in his hands because he had what I now think was a stylus, a palm top and a stylus. Amen? Something more advanced than a pencil and a pad he had in his hand, and he was making note of something. I looked at his hands and I couldn't see the holes because of the way he's holding it. But I knew it was Jesus. And I looked at the ship and what a rust bucket that old thing was and all the people working on it. And I said, "What is it?" And he said to me, "It's you. It's you." And I realized, I'm a rust bucket. I knew he was saying, I just had supernatural insight. I knew he was saying, "You're not ready to go to Tulsa." Without him even saying those words. I said, "What is it?" He said, "It's you." And I said, "When will it be ready?" Knowing he was talking about me. That was symbolic of the work that needed to be done in my life. I still had some rust that needed scraping before I was ready for Tulsa. I said, "When will it be ready?" He said, "In 9 months." And I should have been disappointed. Because I had my sights set on Tulsa. I hated Las Vegas. I hate that word hate, but I'm using it because I hated Las Vegas. It was the backside of the wilderness. It was hard for me. Amen? But there's just something about being in the presence of Jesus. I just could not experience disappointment even though I wanted to. I was just glad that he was showing me, "You're going to hold back, and in 9 months, you'll go, and everything will be prepared for you." It was a word of wisdom through a trance. He told me, "You're going in 9 months. Not 4 to 6 weeks, as you've planned." Well, I held back, and I didn't go. And I was glad to stay, because I had been in the presence of Jesus, and he had personally given me a word of wisdom concerning the future. To make a long story short, which is very unlike me, I arrived in Tulsa 9 months later, and over the next 2 years, without me telling anybody what my needs were, I said without me telling anybody what my needs were, 4 different families paid my tuition, transportation, food, clothing, gave me cash, wouldn't take my rent. Supernatural. Now, if I had ignored that word of wisdom, and a word of wisdom doesn't have to come through a trance or through a vision. It can come by an inner witness. You just know not to step out and do something. It's not always spectacular, but it's always supernatural. Amen? If I had disobeyed that word of wisdom, disobeyed Jesus showing me what He wanted me to do in 9 months, not in 6 weeks, I'd have been sunk. That ship I saw in that trance would have been sunk if I ignored it and stepped out and did what I wanted to do just because it's what I wanted to do. He gave me grace to stay. And when I obeyed Him, even though in the natural it looked like I was going to fall behind if I didn't go now, I got to go now. He showed me if you go now, you will fall behind. But if you wait the 9 months that I'm telling you to wait, I'll thrust you forth supernaturally and you get more out of that than if you go now. So I obeyed Him. Amen. These gifts are necessary. Amen. Listen, same thing can happen to you that happened to me. God's no respecter of persons. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. When God guides, God provides. When it's God's decision, it's God's provision. Let's stand up and worship Him. Amen. The word of knowledge can come in many ways. You know, we should stand up, if you would. Take your Bible. Hallelujah. We've got a few minutes. We'd like to get you out of here by 8:15 to 8:30. It's only 8:09. The next 4 minutes are mine! And I'm going to take full advantage of them. Look in your Bible at Joel chapter 2. Grab your Bible while you're standing there. Are you being blessed by this word tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. I'm sorry, Helen. Hallelujah. I repent. Joel chapter 2. Everybody there? Hallelujah. Joel chapter 2. It's on page 1088. Joel chapter 2. Just take your time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you have to go to the index in the front of your Bible, take a minute and do that. This will only take us a couple of minutes to look at. You'll be glad. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Helen was one of the first ones there because she had a supernatural revelation from my mind concerning something having to do with the future because she got here 10 minutes early. Amen? Hallelujah. Is everybody there in Joel chapter 2? We want you to see this with us. Amen? There is going to be an increase of all 9 gifts of the Spirit in the immediate future. I keep saying to you, I keep decreeing to you, I keep predicting to you and prophesying to you that we are about to see the greatest outpouring of God's Spirit through the Holy Spirit, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, unlike any other time in all of human history. And when God's moving, it's the gifts in operation. God doesn't move independent of these 9 gifts that we're studying. When God moves, it's according to these gifts. It's according to His Word. Amen? I'm giving you time to get to Joel. Are you there? We're going to see more of these gifts in manifestation. Oh, I can't almost hardly wait to have Brother Maurice come and share something with you. But how we're going to have to wait. Do you mind me talking about it like this, Brother Maurice? Hallelujah. A word of wisdom that the Lord gave that man. Now, don't ask him because he can't tell you right now. But when the time comes, we want to wet your whistle, amen? These gifts are working in the Fischel household. They're working in the Robinson household. They're working in our midst. And the more we learn about them, the more they're going to operate, amen? Go out of here expecting Him to operate, amen?
Yeah.
Amen? And don't call the Fischels. Hallelujah. But I'm going to have Brother Maurice come and testify when the time is right. Hallelujah. And Brother Maurice and I, and it's not who you think it is, are going to stand up here, the three of us together. And you're going to be so blessed by a word of wisdom that the Lord gave this man. On top of what He had already given His precious wife. Am I okay saying this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These gifts are operating in our midst. I feel in my spirit I should say that or I wouldn't say that. Amen? Hallelujah. Brother Maurice has a great testimony coming. Hallelujah. You're going to see how God's been working in our midst even when most of us didn't even know it. Amen? God providentially governs this body. This is His church. This is His congregation. And we're going to see more of these gifts in manifestation. Joel chapter 2, if you would please. In verse 28, say amen if you're there. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, not just ministry leadership. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We'll be studying that gift in a couple of weeks. Your old men shall dream dreams. You don't have to be old. You just have to be an elder statesman. Amen? It actually says, your elder men and women. The translators limited this to men, and they shouldn't have done that. It says that your elder men and women, statesmen, senators, is what it says. Brother Maurice is a senator, a statesman in the body of Christ. Brother John, Sister Helen, they've been at it for a while. And God recognizes that, amen? And we're to recognize it. Your elder men and women, statesmen and senators shall dream dreams. Your younger men shall see visions. Joshua. And upon the servants and upon the handmaids. Say handmaids.
Handmaids.
In those days I will pour out my spirit. Somebody actually had the brass to say women can't operate in the gifts. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says your handmaids. I will pour my spirit out upon your handmaids. You know that there are 17 women teachers in the New Testament? 17! Don't say women can't teach in the church just because Paul told the big mouth Corinthian women to sit down and shut up and talk at home. He wasn't talking to all women. He was talking to those women. He's not talking to you. You don't have that problem. They had that problem. Am I okay? Women can preach and prophesy, teach, pastor, operate in the gifts just like men. Go back and read it again. My goodness, God, did God use Moses' rod? And don't say he can't use women. Hey, did he use a ram's horn to knock down the walls of Jericho? Did he use Balaam's ass to speak to Balaam? He used an ox goat for Shamgar to kill 600 Philistines. He can't use a woman? Listen, I'm just telling you what God told me to tell you. Amen. He used a barley cake to beat the Philistines in Judges chapter 7. He used pitchers of water to beat the Philistines in Judges chapter 7. He used a millstone to whip the Philistines in Judges chapter 7. Judges 9. Why can't he use a woman? He can do anything he wants. Amen. He used the jawbone of an ass, didn't he, with Samson? He could use a woman. Amen. He used ravens to feed the prophet. He can use a woman. Amen. He used a great fish in Jonah's life, didn't he? In Jonah chapter 1. He used a mantle in Elijah's life when he smote the waters and the waters parted to either side. Why can't he use a woman? He used a rooster in Peter's life. Wake up! He can use a woman. Didn't he? God can use who he wants to speak through whom he wants, to manifest through whom he wants. Say, God, count me in. Here I am, God.
Use me.
In Jesus' strong name. Well, glory be to God. Hallelujah. He used Daisy Gillick to open Ronald Coyne's eye, cause him to see where he had no eyeball. She's a woman. Daisy's a woman's name. Don't ever call me Daisy. She was a woman. She's in heaven now, isn't she? Oh, my goodness. It just goes to show you the Word of God will add years to your life. Amen. Hallelujah. He used Daisy Gillick. It was a little woman that Barbara knew personally to open a man's eye who I knew personally who had no eyeball and he can see through an empty socket. Time to wake up.
Amen.
Paul said, awake unto righteousness. Amen. Father, we thank you for manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit in our midst, Lord. Thank you for what we're learning in this series, God. We say yes to your gifts. Yes to your gifts. Yes to your gifts and your manifestations and your power and your will and your goodness and your love and your mercy and your grace and your provision, God. Oh, God, we love you. We thank you, Father God, that you love us as much as you love Jesus. Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, Father, let them know that you... Last thing he prayed, let them know that you love them as much as you love me. I want you to bow your heads, if you would, please, tonight. I want you to bow your heads and please don't look around. Hallelujah. We'll honor people's privacy in this place tonight. Before I dismiss you, we're going to sing a song and we're going to close and we're going to have Sister Sandy close with a brief prayer. But before we do that, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, put your hand up over your head. If you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you put your hand over your head. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I see those hands. I see those hands. You put your hands down. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast you out. I want to give you opportunity to call on Jesus tonight. If he's yet to become your Lord and Savior, he said, I'm the way. He said, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And he said, no man can come to the Father but by me. He's either Lord, lunatic, or liar. He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's the Son of God come in the flesh to pay the penalty for our sins. And there's no reach in heaven without him. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you'd like to call upon Jesus now, raise your hand. We'll pray with you. You just put your hand over your head if you'd like to call upon Jesus. If you'd like him to become your Lord and Savior, you put your hand over your head. We'll pray with you corporately. We'll all say the same prayer out loud. We won't ask you to pray alone. Amen? If that's your will, if that's your desire, just the Holy Spirit tugging on you right now, putting it on your heart, go ahead, lift your hand. That's the Holy Spirit telling you, wooing you, telling you he loves you. He wants you in his family. He wants you to be part of his forever family. That's him tugging on your spirit. Respond. Put your hand up. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. If you don't choose to do that tonight, we want to encourage you. When the time comes and you feel you're ready, you just say, Jesus, you're my choice. Those simple words, Jesus, you're my choice. And he'll translate you from the power of Satan into the power of light. And you become a member of his forever family. Everyone say this. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
you're my choice.
You're my
choice.
Say, Jesus,
Jesus, you're my choice.
You're my choice.
One more time. Jesus,
Jesus,
you're my choice. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. When you fail, you're ready. Amen. Let's sing, and then we're going to have Sister Sandy pray a brief prayer. Hallelujah. Let's sing Jesus, your name, and we will be dismissed. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus, your name.